So happy to see you all today on this Lord's Day, first day of the week, at the beginning of this new year. We are now 11 days into 2026, and it's a good feeling to be at the beginning of a new year. First of all, I want to say how good it is to see Phil, you with us this morning after a little scary yesterday, being taken to the hospital. I'm sure glad that things are okay, and we are thinking about you guys on your move coming up here in a few weeks. We also are making some plans to have a get-together before you leave, and so we're planning to do that 2 weeks from yesterday, the Lord willing. And there's going to be more information coming out about that, but it is good to be together here this morning. It's wonderful to see Luana with us, and we're mindful of health issues that she is going to be having here, maybe surgery in the near future, so we want to be keeping Luana in our prayers, and we do, and she is such a beautiful part of this congregation that means so much to us. So it's wonderful to see you today here. Also, we miss Matt, who is going to Arizona to be with family. Aunt of his mother's sister, passed away. And so Matt is down in Arizona this weekend. But it was great to have the men's breakfast yesterday together. Several of the guys have already commented about that, but we had a wonderful turnout and a wide age span that was good to see. But just men of God coming together to on a Saturday morning to have breakfast together and to study the Bible and to pray together. I thought that was wonderful, and the participation and the comments that everyone made really was uplifting and encouraging to me. And we go there once every 3 months about at the restaurant in Des Moines there, and it was nice because one of the waitresses there, Mary, has been there for a long time. I think Ted and Mary went to high school together. So I was able to have a nice conversation with her, and she shared some things going on in her family, and we prayed for her. We also ran into our neighbors, Mike and Jolene, who happened to be there having breakfast with some of their friends. So I was really glad that they were able to see and maybe hear some of the praying that we were doing, and hopefully that will be an encouragement to them. But it's just great to be together today, and we are at the beginning of a new year. And I want to read a passage of scripture here from the book of Isaiah that acknowledges God doing new things in our lives. And to me, it's a very appropriate scripture to read at this time of year. And so if you have your Bible and you're able to turn to Isaiah 43, verse 18, He says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." So God here speaks about doing a new thing here as he was speaking at a time there in the days of Isaiah, maybe around 700 years before the birth of Jesus. And yet God was still able to look back with the children of Israel. Many of the things that he had done in the past, miracles, great things, great acts of God, powerful acts of God that had taken place. And yet he said, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Isaiah reminded the people here that we always need to be looking forward in our lives. God is doing new things. He is always at work. And he has been at work, but he continues to be doing new things in the world, in among his people, and in our lives. God is at work. And as we begin a new year, I think that sometimes we are tempted to look back and expect this is just going to be more of the same. This coming year is going to be just like it was last year. Nothing is going to change. We're going to have the same struggles, the same habits in our lives, the same weaknesses, the same limitations. But the Word of God declares that our future is not going to be a repeat of our past. And so he speaks to the people of Israel here to comfort them, to encourage them that God is still active and God is doing a new thing. And he wants them to be aware of that. God has a plan. He has an eternal plan that he is unfolding and working out in our lives. We can't always see it. And so living here this life, we tend to get dragged down by the circumstances in which we are living. But God always wants us to be looking to the future. There's new things happening. There's exciting things to come. Our lives are going to continue to get better. We're going to experience new things that God does and will continue to do. So God is the author of new beginnings in our lives. He's not just recycling everything that's gone on in the past. And his message to us is that he wants to see our lives moving forward. And he wants us to be aware that he wants to be actively working, is actively working in each one of our lives. So it's an encouraging message full of hope that Isaiah is giving here to his people. And he says we need to let go of the former things. He says, do not remember the former things. Now, one of the former things in the people of Israel that they had experienced or that they knew about, certainly, was the exodus from Egypt in the days of Moses. They were in bondage in Egypt. And it seemed to be an impossible situation at that time. And yet God brought them out of that. And he opened up the way through the waters. And he opened a path through the wilderness for his people. And that was the great basis of the faith of the Hebrew people. It was the deliverance of them as a nation and the beginning of them as a nation. They could trace back to that event in their history. And yet, God is saying here to the people of Isaiah, don't remember the former things. And they would say, what? What are you saying, Lord? We're not to remember the Exodus? of Egypt, how you brought us out from that bondage? He said, yes, because I'm doing a new thing in your life now that I want you to be encouraged about. You see, the people of Israel had gone from one bondage to another at the time, or they were about to. You see, Isaiah actually is speaking before the Babylonian captivity came. Maybe 100 years before that new captivity began. We look at the calendar and we can trace that perhaps, as accurate as known, the Babylonian captivity was from about 586 to 536 B.C. And it even began before that in the days of Daniel. So it's measured as a 70-year period. But Isaiah was writing at least 100 years before that. And the amazing thing about the Word of God and how God would reveal the upcoming future through His prophets. And it was always accurate. The ability that God revealed them Himself, that He can look into the future and He can declare things to come. So Isaiah not only announced to the people of Israel that there was going to be another captivity coming over the horizon, and they had known the one that happened in the past, but in the days to come, they were going to find themselves in another captivity, and they were going to be taken away from their homeland and their way of life, and they were going to be transported over to Babylon. And they were going to be there for 70 years. Well, many of them didn't even know that this was coming, and until Isaiah and the other prophets began to warn them of that. And the reason being, why would God do that? Why would God take His people out of their homeland and have them taken over to a foreign land and stay there for 70 years? Well, it was due to the rebelliousness of His people. And God, in doing that, was not intending to abandon them or to no longer care about them, but was to discipline them in a way that would actually bring them a better future. They would bring them back to Him from their idolatrous ways that they fell into. So Isaiah here is giving a message of hope, and he is speaking to the people of Israel that when they go into this Babylonian captivity, they are going to become very, very despondent. They're going to be very discouraged. They're going to lose hope. And it's going to be so difficult at times for them living in Babylon that they are going to despair. And why has our God forgotten us? His message is God has not forgotten them. And that don't remember those former ways that God delivered you out of the Exodus the last time. I want you to know I'm going to be doing a work in the future, a new work. I'm going to bring you back out of that captivity also. Just like I made a way in the water and a passage through the wilderness, I'm going to do something even greater in the future. The reason I bring this up is because if that is so in the people of Israel, if that was true, that the people of Israel, in spite of all the wonderful things that God had done in their past, had a tendency to get bogged down in their circumstances of their life and lose their hope that God was a God that did great things in the past, but He no longer cares about His people. That same thing can happen to us. And sometimes we come to the beginning of a new year and we look at that and we think, my life is just going to go on being the same as it has been year after year. God wants us to have a brighter outlook. He wants us to be aware, no, I'm going to continue to be doing new things and I'm going to be working out my purposes and my plans. And so I'm aware of your circumstances, and I am working in those as I speak to you to give you hope. That is the message that I see as I look here into the book of Isaiah this morning that God is saying, I am doing a new work. I'm doing a new thing. And don't continue to dwell on those things of the past. I want you to focus on the things I'm doing now. To me, this is saying that God is going to do wonderful things here in this coming year. He's not only able to do them, He's going to do them in each one of our lives. And each of you can testify to that. If you will stop and look back, and you may have that tendency to get sometimes dragged down and lose that hope. But when you actually look at your life, you can see what I'm saying. God is doing new things. He's always going to be doing new things. In Isaiah, beginning with Isaiah chapter 40, especially, Isaiah turns from a message of judgment to a message of hope for the people. And he begins there at the beginning of chapter 40, and he says, "Comfort my people, says your God." And we can see the glimpses of God's eternal salvation plan coming to pass. Because in verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord will be revealed. And so this is a message that we later understand the coming of John the Baptist before the birth of Jesus or beginning of the work of Jesus. John the Baptist came in the wilderness. He was preaching the message, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. God was beginning to do a new work. And the ultimate plan of salvation, of sending His own Son into the world. God sent Moses. God sent people like Isaiah. But His ultimate purpose was to send His own Son, Jesus Christ. And in Isaiah chapter 42, he begins to talk more specifically about the coming of His servant. He said, behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law. Well, most biblical scholars agree that this is a messianic prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ is the servant that God was going to work out his coming things that he would do through the sending of his Son. And he acknowledges the fact that Jesus here is going to be very gentle. And he will not break a smoking flax or a plant that is very tender. He is going to come into this world. He's going to be very calm and gentle and kind. He's not going to cry aloud in the street. He is going to be a peaceful, gentle, kind, sacrificial Messiah. And yet he will accomplish his purposes. And he will bring the Gentiles in. All of those things are revealed. But in verses 8 and 9, he said, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare before they spring forth, I tell you of them. So time and again, Isaiah announced the things that God would be doing in the future. And he reveals through prophecy. And that is a testament of the Word of God. That the Word of God, one of the qualities that marks it to be the Word of God, is the character of the prophecies of the Bible. And he says in Isaiah 40 verse 6, he says, all flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. So you have the word of God. The word of God declares things that God is going to be doing in the future, and they always come to pass. So God is going to be doing a new creation, Isaiah said. And we learn about that new creation when we come to the New Testament, and we understand that the new creation that God was ultimately planning to do was the new creation that He works in our lives through His Son, Jesus Christ. And He says in Isaiah, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, He says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And this new creation that God does, He does it within us. He does it in our lives by Jesus Christ dying for our sins and then being buried and then being raised to newness of life. And God wants to do that same thing in our lives. By His Son dying on the cross, He paid the price of redemption for us all. And He invites us to die with Him, be buried with Him, and be raised to walk in newness of life. And one of the ways that this takes place is when we are baptized for the forgiveness of our sins into Jesus Christ. And we are raised up to newness of life. That is God's new creation. That is His new work that He spoke to Isaiah. And He said, forget those former things. I'm doing a new work. Now, it began when the people were there in Babylonian captivity and they had lost all hope. And God said, no, I'm going to bring you back out of that captivity. And He said, I will raise up My servant Cyrus. And He names him by name over 150 years before this happened. He said, My servant Cyrus. And he's coming out of the east and he will come up out of the north. But he will bring you back to your home. God used the ruler Cyrus of the empire of Persia, which had not even risen up, because in the days of Isaiah, the concern was about the emperor, the Assyrian Empire was the most powerful. But He first announced to them, He said, no, there's going to be Babylon is going to rise up above Assyria. But then after that, the Medes and the Persians are going to rise up above the Babylonians, and My servant Cyrus is going to release you and you're going to come back to here. But He said, My work that I am doing is when you are able to be Gentiles and Jews all brought together, and you're going to be reborn and you're going to become a new creation, and My servant is going to come, My own Son, and He's going to lay down His life for mankind. So God always had a purpose and a plan. And in our lives today, we need to strive to not fall into the pattern of thinking, my life is just these circumstances where I'm tied down and I can't ever seem to do any improvement on the circumstances where I am. We need to look up and we need to look and see what is God doing in His plans, because God wants to work through me and He wants to bring other people to be this part of this new creation along with what He has been able and is doing in my life today. So sometimes our lives aren't really going anywhere. Sometimes we are off track. Entirely off track. And yet God is still on track, working out His purposes, getting us back to where we need to be. It's a lot like the GPS in our cars, you know, and in our phones. We have technology today, amazing technology, satellite technology that can identify where we are and which direction we're moving. And have you ever noticed that when you're using your GPS, sometimes it is telling you to go one way, but, you know, for example, I am usually in the wrong turn, the lane that is saying need to turn here, and I wasn't paying attention, and so I don't go that way. But what the GPS does, it just recalibrates everything. It says, okay, that's fine, but go up here, do a U-turn, take a left turn, come back, we'll get you back on track where you're going. It's exactly what God is doing in our lives. God's plan is able to be adjustable to our circumstances. And even though sometimes we take the wrong turn, God is working to bring us back, to get His people back on course. He's been doing this from the beginning. And so when He says, I am doing a new thing, do you not perceive it? He's talking about that recurring problem among His people, that His people are prone to waywardness. His people are prone to selfishness, rebelliousness. And yet God is such an amazing God that He still works through these people, through our lives, the imperfections, and He brings us out a new creation. He had to give His own Son to pay the price in order to make that so. So we have the example of Israel in the days of Moses. We have the example of Israel in the days of Isaiah and Daniel. And now we have the example of us living today in the year 2026. And God is still saying the same thing. He says, I will do a new work. I'm doing a new thing. I am helping you grow in your life. And sometimes we say, why then are you allowing me to be in the hospital, having to do this chemotherapy or some other horrible experience that I'm going through? And yet God is working in your life to bring you out to the jewel of the crown that He has in mind for you. So that when we stand before Him in the day of judgment, He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of your Lord. I'd like for us to also look at Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, which is a beautiful promise here that we have in the book of Lamentations. This book of Lamentations, it means sorrows, grieving, and it comes about because of when God sent His people into the Babylonian captivity, the city of Jerusalem and the temple, they were destroyed. The Babylonians came to the city of Jerusalem and they began just systematically tearing it apart, conquering the people, taking them away in chains into Babylon, 1,000 miles away or more. And they stayed there for 70 years. The city of Jerusalem was leveled, it was destroyed, it was burned to the ground. And yet God brought them back out of that. Step by step, and eventually He brought His Son into the world. But in Lamentations He says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God's mercies and compassions are new every morning. And I like to look at it this way, that every morning God gives us a clean slate. God gives us a new day. He gives us a new sunrise. He gives us new opportunities. He gives us air to breathe. And so life always can still be new to each one of us. Why? Because God is in our lives. Without Him, none of this would be true. Julie gave me a devotion book of devotions for my Christmas present from her. But the name of it is God's Mercies Are New Every Morning. And so every morning Karen and I are reading the devotion for that day. And it's very encouraging and very uplifting when we think about what God is doing in my life. You start out your day that way. God is doing something new. He's doing a new work in our lives. And if we ever get to the point where God's not doing something new, there's not new things happening in your life, we probably need to check with a coroner. That's not good. If you go up to someone and say, "What is the new thing that you're excited about that's happening in your life?" And they cannot think of one. Not good. Not good. So God is working new things in your life. In our families, our children, our grandchildren, new blessings are coming along. New friendships that we are meeting. New people. Meeting the people on your street. Getting to know the people you work with. Those are opportunities that God is putting out there in front of us. He's working through these things. So His mercies, even though we have fallen short, even though we have failed time and time again, it doesn't mean that God is giving up on us. God is continuing to work out His purposes through each one of us. He knows each one of us intimately, and He loves us deeply. So there are new blessings in store. And as I said before, the greatest of those is the work that He does of salvation in our life through Christ. When Paul says, "Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." We walk in newness of life. And God has given us new things. From the beginning of time, God has been introducing new things. Like when in the creation, the first words of the Bible, what are they? It says, "In the beginning, God." And if you don't go any further than that, you know why we're here. In the beginning, God. That sets the tone for everything else in the Bible. The children of Israel were in captivity in Egypt. Who would have thought that God would bring them out and they would walk through the Red Sea on dry ground? It was new. That had never happened. Noah, he was told to build an ark. It had never happened. God did something new. He is always doing new things, whether we notice it or not. He is actively working. And there is bright things coming in our lives in the future that God has planned for us. So as we begin to look at this new year, we need to realize that our lives are not destined to failure. Our lives are not destined to be just controlled by the circumstances. We need to, instead of looking down and around us, we need to be looking up and giving the glory to God. He says, "I am doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it?" And truly, we have so much to be thankful for, so much to be excited about as we begin this new year. So this morning, as we come to the close, I want to extend the invitation once again of Jesus to each one of us, to submit our lives to Him in obedience, in faith, and trusting Him that God is leading us to His ultimate purpose and goal. But we have to surrender to Him. We have to surrender our life. "Lord, I believe in You. I believe in Your Son, Jesus. I believe that You sent Him to die for my sins. You raised Him from the dead, and he's promised he's coming back again. But Lord, I want to be your person. I want to surrender to you. I want to repent of my sins, confess my faith in Christ, be buried with him in baptism. I want to be raised and walk with you in obedience to your Son. Lord, help me to find this new way of life. You know, I find that God is always there whenever you call upon him for help. And so many examples of that. Like on our recent trip to Florida, we had a long flight and we got in there about 9 o'clock at night, and Fort Lauderdale, Florida, we'd never been there before. And of course I went on the Google and I studied this because we had a condominium that was reserved. We were going to be staying there. And I told Karen, I said, I know how to get there. I've got it. We get in there, though, at night, 9:30, and we have to go through the checkout, and we have to get our rental car. So we finally come out of there. It's probably almost 11 o'clock, and the carefully planned plans of mice and men, you know, you've heard that say, and we come out of there, and first thing, it's a heavy flow of traffic. You know, four lanes coming straight out of the rental car. And I'm supposed to go left, but people are honking their horns, you know. And so I go right instead of left. And we start looking, and we get more and more lost, to put it simply. Supposed to be very simple. Go down here, turn left, go up here, turn left. 5 minutes, you're at your rental house. Well, an hour goes by. We are further and further away from it. And Karen has her phone out, and she's looking on the GPS, and nothing makes sense. Finally, I said, let's pull over here at this gas station, and let's take a deep breath, and let's pray. And so we did. And as we started looking, then we realized, oh, we turned the wrong way. We're supposed to be on the other side of the airport, but we're down here almost to Miami, where we are. And so finally, though, it's amazing, when you ask God to help you, things start falling back in place. We get home and we start up our car and the engine light is on the dashboard. Something's wrong with our car. We take it out for a drive and it won't shift gears. And so we are thinking, what is wrong? I take it over to Bill's house, and he opens up the hood. There is a huge rat's nest or something in the engine compartment of our car. Anyway, to make a long story short, the rodents have gotten into our car in our garage. We're gone for 2 weeks, and they have chewed through the engine wires. So finally, again, we stop, we pray, Lord, how are we going to get this working? And as soon as we begin to pray, God answers our prayers. And everything is okay. Everything is back good. So whenever we begin a new year, that's the best advice I can give to any of us. Go to the Lord at the beginning of the day. Ask his blessings. Thank him for the work he's doing. Look around, see the blessings, what he has been doing, what he is blessing us with, and how he has good things planned, how we can grow in this coming year. So as we come to the end of the lesson, I want to extend the invitation. And if any of you are here this morning, I want to invite you to come as we stand together and sing the invitation song. Come to Jesus Christ this morning, we pray.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, our
time shall be no more, and the glory
breaks eternal, bright and free.